Before we go too far, I'm going to invite you, those that are able, to please stand. Either way is just fine, but I'm going to ask you to turn to your neighbor and say, the days may be getting darker, but God's light is shining brighter. All right, let me go ahead and dismiss these little lights, these mini lights. You are dismissed, released, free to go to Children's Church. For the rest of us, as you've probably picked up on, this is Advent season. Today we are going to turn to Isaiah chapter 2. If you're grabbing a pew Bible, 484. The words will be on the screen behind me. Thank you, Andy, for that. Keeping in mind that the Advent readings this year from the liturgical calendar, kind of the appointed readings for the church, the more global church, the Advent readings this year are from Isaiah. Notable because Isaiah has all kinds of references to the coming Messiah, more so than any other book in the Old Testament. So much so that Isaiah is often referred to as the fifth gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then we have Isaiah, the fifth gospel, or the gospel according to Isaiah. And for today, that means for us, Isaiah chapter 2, the first five verses. And so let's do read that, and then we'll pray, and then we'll come back and get to work. Isaiah 2, opening line, says, we read, this is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It, this mountain, will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The law, the Torah, will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge, verse 4, he will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we do thank you for the blessing of gathering together this morning. We thank you for your word and your words to us. This season of Advent, may your light indeed shine in our hearts, our minds. Teach us your ways. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to follow you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have no time to stand and stare. Our paths are in the dark. Lord, give us light. This is the time of year that we feel it. The days are getting shorter, the mornings darker, the evenings arrive early, and we feel it. Right, the loss of daylight, the warmth drifting away, the steady closing of sky, the long shadow of darkness, we feel it. And yet, it is there, it is in this very moment that here comes Advent. Here comes Advent, daring to speak of the light. Not a blinding light, not a full summer light, but the first mild light, the first small flame. And that is where Isaiah takes us. Not first to a manger, not yet to a child, but to a mountain, high and lifted up. Come, let us go up, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. Isaiah is giving us not a command, but a picture or a vision, a vision of a people, it says, streaming upward, not in fear, not in violence, but in hope and longing, a hope and a longing for a world, it says, where swords are turned into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, where nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. This is where Isaiah takes us. This is where Advent begins. Again, not first in a stable, not yet a midnight birth, but come, right? Let us go up a mountain high and lifted up. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And here is where it gets personal. Because the light shows us the path, the way forward. The light offers us color and warmth and connection. The light reveals or makes visible beauty and goodness. And so we long for the light. We are drawn to the light. Right? And to the hope and the peace and the joy and the love that it brings. And yet, if we are honest, we also fear it. Because the same light that reveals what is out in the open also uncovers what is hidden. And so we long for the light. We welcome the light. That is until it shines on the places we have tucked away in the shadows. Failure, maybe it's regret, maybe it's rejection, maybe shame, right? Those parts of our lives we would rather just keep in the dark. And so it's the very thing that we long for, it's the very thing we desire, and yet it's also the very thing we resist. And like Adam and Eve in the garden, we hide, we justify, we lie, we deny, we control, try to control. And if not that, then we're just busy, right? Vague, distracted. Right, hoping and praying that somehow the light will just simply pass us by. And yet the Advent invitation remains, right? Come, walk in the light of the Lord. And it's here that our yes collides with our no, our longing with our fear. Right, we long for the way forward. But we fear what may be left behind. We long for connection, but we fear the rejection. We long for beauty, but we fear the blemish. We long to be seen. And yet we fear what might be exposed. And yet the Advent invitation remains, right? Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord, right? Because the light shows us the way forward, right? It offers this sort of counterintuitive message, right? That because the light, it shows us the path, the way forward, and it walks with us as we let go of the past. Right? The light offers us connection, and it also holds us in the midst of the face of rejection. The light reveals beauty and doesn't turn away from the blemish. The light shines and sees us as we are, and it accepts us, embraces us fully. And so this invitation to walk in the light of the Lord is not to flee from darkness, but it's to step into the light, to lean into the ache, to face our fears, to move toward the struggle, not away from. Not because it's easy, but because God is there. And so we step into the light, believing and trusting that in some miraculous way, that light is our life. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. That is the Advent invitation. Right? Not yet the manger, not yet the stable, not yet a child, not yet a midnight birth, but right here and right now. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Which creates a tension for us, right? Because that very thing that we long for is that very thing that we fear, and yet that counterintuitive message reminds us that no, this light is good. This light is good. And so we need not fear. And so with that, I want to invite us to sit in just some stillness together and to consider what would it look like to walk in the light of the Lord. What would it look like for you and for me, for us, this week, this season, to walk in the light of the Lord? Not heroically, not perfectly, but gently and honestly. What would it look like for us to walk in the light of the Lord? And then with that, to consider what might God be inviting me to bring into the light? What might God be inviting me? Perhaps it's a worry. Perhaps it's a resentment, a grief, an ache, a suffering, a brokenness. Maybe it's some truth I've been carrying all alone. But what might God be inviting me to bring into the light? And what would it look like then to let God meet me there? What would it look like to let God meet me there in that place, right? To no longer hide that part of myself. And then finally, may we also consider where might God be inviting me to carry the light into someone else's darkness? Right? Not with answers or with fixes or with advice, but in faithfulness and gentleness and presence. And so we have a few moments here this morning, and I really want to invite us to sit in the stillness together and to consider, and where does this Advent meet me this morning? Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord.